What's up? Welcome to the Nerdgasm Channel Podcast. I am Willie, aka Unofficial Ninja.
Zach, Romeo 313.
Jules,
Fade Alexander.
And today we're going to be talking about a few things, including the Nintendo Switch, its launch, and also some of the issues it's been having with its syncing of the Joy-Cons. Some of whitewashing in Hollywood with Death Note and what was the other one, Zach?
Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm. Netflix. And some of the movies that we're watching right now and other things that might pop into our head.
We're going to be doing what's... We still haven't come up with a theme. Maybe somebody can come up with a Nintendo theme for Jules for his Nintendo Minute.
I thought our theme's been like... Nintendo News!
Something like that. That's fine. If you want
to
do it again.
That's usually what I try to put in there.
Well, we need a jingle, but yeah. So...
But it's got to be personal for Julius. So it's like, Julius loves Nintendo. Nintendo loves everybody.
No, it should be like just Julius is luckiest Nintendo person ever.
All right, so Julius, let's talk about the Switch launch and maybe some of the issues.
So, well, everybody probably knows that Nintendo Switch launched. Gosh, when was it now? I don't even remember anymore.
Has it been like a month?
Yeah, it's like March
3rd. March 3rd?
Not even a month
March
yet.
3rd, March 4th, somewhere around there.
March 3rd. It was March 3rd, I remember.
Launched, March 3rd. So everybody knows that the Nintendo Switch launched. You had, obviously, two consoles. One had the regular black controllers, and one had the blue and red, the neon controllers.
Neon, yeah.
As they're calling it. And I think it's launched pretty successfully. I haven't seen any numbers. I didn't pull any numbers before the podcast.
From what I've read, it's one of the most successful... like launches for Nintendo in a long time.
Which is funny because they only had 5 games at launch. But one of those games
64
being...
64 only had 2.
Yeah, that's true. One of those games being Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And which is, I personally think, a phenomenal game. Now, I'm not a person who's played all the Legend of Zelda games. I've only really played Majora's Mask and Link to the Past. Mm-hmm. And I really, really enjoy this game. It's been amazing. I'm 40 plus hours in, and I still haven't done. I've only done two or three of the main quest options. Just been kind of running around looking for shrines and these stupid little seeds. But it's been amazing. I think the system itself, but it was funny. I actually did an unboxing. I just haven't put it together, but I recorded it and took pictures and all that good stuff. And as I was taking the Nintendo out of the box, this is the first Nintendo I ever looked at and was like, oh my God, this feels so cheap. It feels so light. The plastic feels like it's going to break. You know, I was so nervous. I actually put one of the little the wrist straps on the wrong way, and I couldn't get it off. And I was about to start crying because I was scared I was going to break it.
You're not alone there.
But you put the Joy-Con... in there upside down.
Yeah, no, I put the strap on the Joy-Con upside down. So the plus or the minus sign was at the bottom.
Well, people have been actually sticking the Joy-Cons on the wrong side, left and right, switching them, and they get stuck. Like, there's a way to get them undone, but it scared a lot of people.
Yeah, right up the gate. it's crazy chips and dips. I did do the I didn't think. I read the instructions, which there weren't a lot. And I read some of the reviews once it launched on how not to dock your...
To not scrape it.
I put a screen protector on mine, so I already had a screen protector on mine. But, you leave the kickstand out. If you had it as the tablet, mm-hmm. and then you try to dock it, and you leave the kickstand out, it breaks it off.
Yeah.
So I actually accidentally put mine in there with the kickstand out, but I caught it before I pushed it down.
Now, are you saying the base feels cheap? Because that, I can understand that.
No, I was talking about
the actual tablet.
I was like, whoa, this feels so plasticky. The base just feels like, oh gosh, like a it feels
because
inexpensive as well.
All it is. It's got the components to charge stuff.
Yeah, charge and output, right? So, but I looked at it, I was like, this is so easy. Where are the step-by-step instructions to hook it up? And they were on the box, you know? It was a really... I love the fact that it has expandable memory with a micro SD card, but I just thought it was a great system. It's been a fun launch, you know. I downloaded Snipper Clips, which is a great co-op game for gamers and non-gamers alike to work together. My wife and I play it, and it's she's not a gamer, but she's much better at the Snipper Clips than I am.
I think that was designed to be a casual game.
Yeah, it's definitely fun.
I know that Becky and I are going to be playing it.
That'll be fun. I'm curious to hear how that goes.
I watched people, like, because I didn't know much about it. So last night or the night before, Achievement Hunter released like a video of them playing it, and it's like four player co-op. And like I was like, wow, this actually does look pretty fun.
It's fun. With
multiple people.
It really is. You know, I can't watch any videos on it until I play it because it kind of give away how you complete some of those.
Well, I think most of the puzzles though, you might not complete the same way someone else will. Like,
yeah,
there'll be a general
guidance to it. You don't really have to think about it though. Like, if you already kind of know a solution, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but I just don't want to watch the videos anytime soon. Because I don't have a Switch. I decided to jump out while the time was good. Because I was only going to buy the Switch for Zelda, and I was looking up how the differences between the Wii U version and the Switch version of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and from what most people were saying and for most what I was reading, exactly the same game except for the Switch has slightly better graphics because the resolution's a little bit better, and then you might see some better audio quality of like the rivers and wind on it. And so I was like, that's not enough for me to justify paying $300 for a console just to play one game, so I got it for the Wii U. Mm-hmm. And so far, it's kind of a similar experience since I normally played my Wii U, I'd played off the gamepad anyway, mm-hmm. so it's very similar in that. Like, I haven't even actually hooked up, like, I don't even know if I still have the HDMI from my Wii U going into my TV. Like, I forgot to check. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, so far it's actually a pretty fun game. So, I decided to sell my Switch, and I'm going to wait until either, like, a newer model or more games come out for mm-hmm. it. Because I'm still holding off for that Super Nintendo or Mario Brothers bundle or something. Like, maybe with Mario Kart, they'll release one with a green and a red Joy-Con or something, like, mm-hmm. edition. So
possible.
So,
I think I shared it on one of our Nerdgasm. I think I did. I may not have. They show all the potential possibilities for Joy-Con colors going all the way back to the Famicom, 8-bit
nice.
Famicom.
So, like, and red and gold.
Yeah, red and gold, you know, red and or black and gray for the 8-bit US.
Or even, like,
Virtual Boy.
There's enough, like, space on there to actually put in other colors, too. So you could have, like, a Nintendo-style one where it was gray, red, mm-hmm. and black, and just kind of, you know, give it accents.
It was neat.
And stuff.
It was definitely neat. There were only things that were different that they said would be the Joy-Con, but it was pretty neat that you could come up with those ideas. So.
Now, before you go... Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. I was just going to... Going back to you said you left the kickstand out on mm-hmm. the actual console itself when mm-hmm. you went to dock it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the kickstand's actually designed to break off easily.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just was like,
no, I remember when everybody was opening up theirs, like, I was watching the unboxing before mm-hmm. it actually came out. They said that kickstand, when you even try to pull it out, feels
yeah.
like you're going to break.
Yeah, it does.
It's very possible.
Like, I've seen people do it. If I remember, I was watching someone reviewing it, and I believe Nintendo specifically had designed that to kind of like a breakaway. So
that surprise me.
Instead of it like breaking because mm-hmm. you pull it too far, it breaks away.
I think
unless you watched
a video on that, we would never know because I think that...
I wouldn't
when you
try
saw,
it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you saw that, you know, people were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and it tells you on the little picture, it says a big red X when you're trying to dock it. Make sure that this is clicked in, so I don't know.
Now, speaking of the Joy-Cons, let me discuss, I guess, the biggest issue with the Switch so far has been a connectivity or sync issue with the left Joy-Con.
That would be the blue one if you got the neon one,
that
right?
would be a blue one, yeah. And I can attest that this has happened to me. So, let me explain what you need to do. It's really simple. Nintendo finally came out and said there was a manufacturing error, not necessarily a defect. But this is super simple on how to do this. So, you call Nintendo's customer service line, which is 1-800-255-3700. Now, you call that number, and it'll, you know, ask you if you're calling about the Switch. You press whatever number corresponds with that, and then it asks you for, like, if you need a repair. Hit that, I think it's 2. You'll eventually talk to somebody, explain them your problem. They know exactly what to do. They're going to send you a shipping label. You just find a box, ship your Joy-Con to them, and they will send it back. It should take about a week. So, honestly, they're handling it the correct way. You know, like Xbox finally did, but remember when you sent in a Red Ring of Death console, you would send it off, and you'd be waiting a little bit to the point where, like, you're like, what the hell just came in the mail? oh, that's my Xbox. So, obviously with, and I'm, I, don't quote me on a week, but like, I think it's about a week turnaround. That's pretty good. And you don't technically need it if you have a Pro Controller, which I do, which is great. And I'm sure for a lot of people, they'd love to buy a Pro Controller, but you can't find one right now.
I got lucky. I got one. I got the last one in the state. Did I tell you guys about that?
Yes.
Yes.
So I did.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Julius is also, if we haven't mentioned this on the podcast before, the luckiest person I've ever known in my entire life. And I've known Jules for over a decade. So it's one of those things where, like, you just go, oh, yeah, that's Jules. He would find
so it. If you could hear the saltiness in my tone, there's reasons for it. Like, yeah. Yes, you told us.
Okay, my bad.
But even so.
Good luck trying to find one.
Yeah, they're hard to find right now.
Did you find the hidden message in your side of your Joy-Con?
You mean the Pro Controller?
I mean your Pro Controller, the hidden message?
I mean, it's all the same for everybody.
Well, yeah, but
I saw it once, though, on the internet.
Oh, so you
I
mean, see it on yours?
I didn't feel like the need to actually go get
it. I thought that was sweet. Yeah, I thought that was sweet.
It was nice. What did the message say
again? Thank you, players.
Thank you for being a...
Thank you, gamers, or something like that.
Thank you for being a gamer, yeah, for y'all, pro gamer.
Those listening, that's on the Pro Controller, correct?
Yes.
Underneath the... Right,
the right analog.
The right analog stick. Mm-hmm. There's like a secret message or special message from Nintendo on there.
Thank you for spending money with us.
And that's for the first issues, I think.
The first
issues? I don't think it's going to be on the reissues. That's what I read.
Thank you for being the first one.
So,
hey, that's what Nintendo. That's what Xbox did on their day one console.
Yeah, it says day one.
Mm-hmm. On their controllers and system.
So. They should have said, thank you for trusting us even after the red ring.
I mean... At the very least, Xbox did address it and fix the issue.
Like, I was... This is funny, because I was watching...
I mean, they have... That's, like, the least of their problems right now.
Yeah, I was watching a video over the... that was talking about the Wii U... Or the Wii Switch... the Switch's Joy-Con issues and stuff. And they're kind of going to the percentage of people who have been affected by it versus, like, the percentage of people who are affected by the, like, orange ring on the PlayStation 3s and then versus the Microsoft Red. And so, like, with the Nintendos, I think there's, like, it's, like, less than 4% or something. Like, with the PlayStation, it was, like, 15% or less. It was something real small. Mm-hmm. And then with the Xbox 360, it was 54%.
That doesn't surprise me.
And I'm like, you released a console where over half of your consoles that you produced failed? And, like, people still trust it. That's
well, you have to understand, like...
surprising.
Here, I could see how that could easily happen in the sense that this was the release date. They had it going. They looked at that, and it may not have been 54% to them, but, like, because they, like, it didn't usually start out as a red ring of death. You would be able to play that console for a while, and then it would just crap out on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a known issue. So, of course, even if they knew about it, it's kind of like those companies that will ship a faulty product knowing mm-hmm. that they'll have to do
Samsung.
Recall at some point.
Samsung.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm not saying Samsung knew that their phones were going to explode.
Yeah, but just playing the odds mm-hmm. that maybe everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. Or worst case scenario, we can go, wow, there's some sort of weird manufacturing mm-hmm. default that doesn't really start at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but kind of midway through. And, yeah. I mean, they handled it as well as they possibly could.
Now, you know what I had?
With Nintendo stuff, though, I've never had anything break until the Wii. Oh, and the original Nintendo. But that's probably from... abuse, honestly.
The Xbox 360,
Xbox 360 lasted me a long time.
Mine lasts me a while, too.
I might be in the minority in that, but
I only
had one of them do it to me, but I know there's people who had, like, three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone would do it.
Look at the percentage on that.
Yeah. But, like, I'm just saying, like, there's a difference between, like with Samsung. I don't think they honestly thought...
They didn't know that it was going to blow up.
Because then they sent out replacements that did the same thing. Yeah, like, no company would have done that. Microsoft, they were rushing to get to market. Mm-hmm. And you had to kind of know that, all right, we're not giving this console enough breathing room. So there's a good chance this is going to overheat.
But let's look at it this way. So my 360 lasted a long time. Long enough to where the point where they've already came out with an HDMI version. Yeah. And I was hoping that when I sent it off, that when finally the Red Ring of Death happened, that I would get, they would just be like, oh, they got the component version. Just give them the HDMI one. No, they sent me back my console with the component cables. So
mine,
but I had another one anyway. So.
Mine did the red ring thing right after they you know how they extended it like another year when that started happening. Mine went out about a month after they stopped doing that.
You're definitely the antithesis to mine to me.
Yeah, so. I'm your Samuel Jackson to your Bruce Willis. yeah, so that.
In fact, Jules, were you one of those people that did you have a red ring of death?
No.
Because I know if you were sending a console, a day one console, you would have got an HDMI one back. Yeah. I know you would have.
Yeah. Like I.
No, mine didn't. Really get one.
And I know we're sidetracking here.
Mine got
here,
one, but it didn't really. It wasn't the same.
But I agree. Like Nintendo's actually handling this well. I think with Microsoft. I don't think they handled theirs as well because you were also, I think some people were getting charged for
later
getting
on,
in
yeah.
for,
later
for
on,
getting
way
in for
later
the
on.
Repair and stuff. Like, it's like you sent out a faulty system and now I'm paying you to fix the problem you knew was there because you wanted to reach
sure.
market and
well,
stuff.
Well, I mean, you have to think of the fault rate on Nintendo products to begin with. This goes back to what Jewel says about them not putting out something before it's ready to go. Now, the Switch controller issue, literally, I think 90% of the problem is it's an obstructed view thing that they never thought to. Like, why would they play, not sure, probably should have been tested, but like, why would they even test it out with shit in their way, you know, at the facility, you know what I mean? So, with this one, it's a little unique, and that's fine, and they're going to fix it. Reverse that to the Wii really didn't have any problems. We went through one for some odd reason, we still don't know why, don't really care. But I've seen Becky drop her platinum GameCube from at least standing distance and just the lid popped off and everything like that. That thing still worked like a champ. Like a workhorse, yeah.
Did like, they say why they put a handle on it? Was it just for easy
for
carrying?
Reason. Yeah, for that reason. If to portability.
Nice. No, yeah, and I know people, there's some of our friends, like Devin, say that they kind of get upset for, because people, kind of like, people are really fanboyish towards Nintendo in terms of, like, kind of let them get away with anything versus,
well,
like, because you know he always gets
no,
upset.
No, I understand,
like,
I understand, but I don't know if Devin, and I could be wrong on this, and I, forgive me, Devin, if I am, but you really didn't grow up in the Nintendo heyday. You were a little younger to the point where, like, you know, I don't think people beyond after movies. A certain time knew how big Nintendo was for us growing up. You know what I mean, Jules?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Nintendo was so huge. It was like, it was the great unifier at school, too. Like, you could be kind of a geek, but if you played video games at that point in the 80s, you could hold your own conversation-wise with anybody because that's all we were talking about, or Switch games, or, you know, borrow games from each other, stuff like that. Nintendo was huge, and there really wasn't any competition until Sega came around, but it was such a small slice, even for... Even when they technically had the graphically, you know, power of the 16-bit Genesis system...
Superior for at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Nintendo was still basically ruled.
Yeah, Nintendo has a brand that it tugs on the heartstrings of nostalgia from a lot of people. You know, because it's been around so long. That's why they have the sustainability. Besides the fact they make fantastic product.
Sure, and my point is, he's the Super Nintendo generation.
Mm-hmm.
If you grew up in the Nintendo generation. Kind of different story. Well, there was nothing else to talk about.
I think, like, in his defense and stuff, too, and I see it a lot also.
You're technically
I think
the
it's
Super
more,
Nintendo
yeah.
generation.
I mean, I like Nintendo overall, but I think, like, people tend to not, I guess, I think they look too nostalgically towards Nintendo sometimes and not call them out on their faults. And that's what it kind of is.
I don't know.
No, Julius,
I disagree with that.
Doesn't.
No,
Julius doesn't.
I agree with you until
Julius
you said that
doesn't.
Part.
Yeah.
What? Like,
but I think most video game players that grew up in the Nintendo era have been disappointed in.
Yeah, the most true video gamers will say that Nintendo makes games for kids. That's or families, kids and families. That's most true video gamers will say that. They still love to have. It's never it's a real true video gamer never really keeps a Nintendo system, at least the ones we've had recently, in their home as their primary game system.
I agree.
That's not even the demographic they're going for.
But do you realize I can tell you the exact shift on when Nintendo started doing that? When they started kind of gearing towards the the same demographic they've always kind of gone after. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, obviously when Nintendo came out, it was our age.
Kids.
And it was kids. So, it was Pokemon. When they picked up the Pokemon license, mm-hmm. that made them so much money, that gave them so much collateral to be like, it's the kids. Mm-hmm. The kids are the money makers. And it's true.
Yeah. You know? Even with the Switch, I don't think it's not made to be your primary game system in the home.
You know what? It probably isn't. And it's not obviously not as powerful as the PS4 or Xbox. But the one thing Nintendo always has are those, for now anyways, are those exclusives that will only be on that. I mean, we've gotten to this point where there's exclusives on every console. But you're not they're not as iconic as The Legend of Zelda.
No.
Where this game sold Switches. I don't care.
Yeah, no, that's why
I don't care what anybody says. Or yeah. I didn't buy one because I didn't technically need it because I had a Wii U or whatnot. No, that it still sold a bunch of consoles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's this. I would like to see
almost sold
if they
Wii
came out with a console. If they come out with a Metroid on this one. Whoa!
I want to see, and that's odd because Metroid just had its 25th anniversary or something, and they didn't do anything for it. It's kind of hurt my heart there a little bit, but because it didn't have a new game coming up, because the Metroid, or anyway.
Sure.
But I'd like to see the numbers for the attachment of Wii Switch consoles attached with Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
I could only imagine that it'd be close to 1-to-1.
Gosh, it had to.
If it wasn't 1-to-1.
Out of those games that came out?
It was surprising that, yeah, it was close, but it wasn't completely. Let me see.
But, okay, let's even, like, kind of put it in context like this. So you have Nintendo that had all these great games, and a lot of that can be attributed to third-party support that they don't own the rights to. But at the same time, you know, I mean, I don't really know how to explain to this somebody that wasn't born after, like, 1985, you know? Like, Nintendo was so huge. It was just like, you know, you could probably pull every kid in America, and they'd be like, I've heard of Nintendo. You can't do that on most things.
You know.
Mario, for example, is still one of the most recognized mascots of all time.
Yep. He is, well, you know, Japan, obviously.
Hell, he might even be, well, I think probably Mickey Mouse is probably number
Mickey
one.
Mouse or the Ronald McDonald Golden
Arches. What I was saying is mainly because there's stuff that people will call out, and I think it really is because of nostalgia, be quicker to call out like a Sony or a Microsoft than they would Nintendo.
I get it.
Well, you also have to remember, too, people have a higher expectation for those two systems, Xbox and PlayStation, because of what they've delivered consistently over
the years.
But
I'd also argue that the reason you have Nintendo fanboys is they don't release crap products. Mm.
True. Even though a lot of it is the same.
I'm not talking hardware, I'm talking software.
No, yeah. Both, games. Really.
The Wii probably
really,
could have been...
The Wii U isn't a crappy system.
No, it's a fantastic system.
Yeah, like, so they really, like, their consoles and stuff are well made, and they can do things. It's just that they might not hit the demographic that...
They try innovation.
Personally,
over,
I think the Wii U was a test run for the Switch. Maybe. Personally,
very possible.
But
Wii U like people play the Switch. Mm-hmm. Like if I could take my gamepad and I was actually trying to figure out ways I might be able to extend the range to where I can go to other rooms of my house, I actually been thinking about just grabbing my Wii U with and just taking the Wii U in the power supply and just taking it with me and plugging it up and just playing with my gamepad.
I mean, I can be honest with you though. I did too. I used that Wii Pad.
That would be the same.
I definitely use that Wii Pad a lot.
What are you playing with? I got the Wii U Switch. I switched my Wii U into a Switch. Oh, sorry.
And again, there's nothing wrong with... I think that, like, again, you will never be able to tell me that Nintendo, at this point in time, still isn't placating on some level to nostalgia, but they're really cautious about it. They test. It's like they put their pinky toe in the water, or big toe in the water, just to test the waters to see what's hidden. Like the Nintendo Mini is a perfect example of that. They did not expect the nostalgia to hit that hard. I mean, there's still people waiting for
them. Oh, yeah. And they're not getting them anytime soon.
Yeah, and there's like in, I forgot what European countries that they're not even producing them for anymore. They already said that they're not going to. I can't remember what. Oh, the attach rate, though, according to this, at least, This is GameRevolution.com.
And I'm is it going off a number or a percentage or something like that? Okay, let's guess without looking.
First, I'll tell you that Switch is sold. Like, this is based off of the amount of 1.5 million Switches sold worldwide. What is the percentage of Zelda attach rate to it?
What'd you say, Jules?
82%.
I'm gonna go a little higher. I'm gonna go 91%.
Zach is the closest. It is 89% attach rate.
Damn.
And so, like, I was always wondering, what are the other 11% doing? Those had to be resellers who just bought the console to
Flip. That's probably true.
Because what other game? If you bought it for Clipper,
Snipper Clips,
or for Bomberman, throw yourself in the lava.
Don't get me wrong. 1, 2, 3. We should talk about that. 1, 2, 3. Switch is a great party game. Should have been a bundle. Should have been free.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick, then, since we're kind of going to that as kind of a negative or whatever. All right. Lists. What are some things that you would like to see Nintendo do or see that they haven't done, or what would you want from Nintendo? Now, because we're being really positive on them. So I'm like, what are some shortcomings that they have that you would like to see them?
So their franchise titles don't come out on a regular basis, and I get that they pump their time into it, but I think also they're not developing some of those classic titles that they own. Like, come out with a Donkey Kong, more often. Come out with a Metroid more often.
So they're not properly utilizing their franchises and IPs.
I think that their idea is they're very cautious, so they take everything and analyze it. Oh, I think they overanalyze some of their things. Mm. Especially when you have fails like Metroid and Other M. That was the last Metroid we had, and it bombed so bad that it probably shook Nintendo going,
ew. Even though people are still would really... I keep hearing a lot of people wanting a new Metro game.
If you were a fan of Prime... If you were a fan of Prime, dude, those were stellar games.
Metroid, amazing.
Yeah, think about how long it took them to come out with Earthbound after... years of petitions just to have it released on as some form or fashion. Finally, they came out on the virtual console. Like, it wouldn't cost them anything to go, here's the code for the ROM for Earthbound, upload it to the virtual console, let's see how it does. That's how they test things. They test it by trying to make money, which is kind of brilliant in its own sense.
So, yeah, drum up better demand. Use of their franchise titles. More.
Or at least change them up a little bit, okay.
So, more. Because Tropical Freeze, did you play Tropical Freeze?
Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze?
Because that's an amazing game. Given away for free, actually. That was the newest Donkey Kong game they had, which was very much like.
Wii U? After the Rare era.
Yeah, after the Rare. This falls back. It falls back more closely to the Super Nintendo.
In fact, I'm pretty sure I played it at your house.
You probably did, because I own it in the physical and the digital download copy, because they gave it for free with Nintendo rewards. So my thing I'd like to see Nintendo do a lot better job at is Nintendo bring back some kind of Nintendo Rewards Club. They have it. That My Nintendo thing that's on the even on the Switch. Like, you can get points for playing Zelda, which I'm pretty sure you guys probably haven't done yet, because it's hidden inside the settings menu. You wouldn't know to find it if you didn't know it was there. So, but this My Nintendo Rewards, when I say bring back something, more like Club Nintendo.
I agree.
So, these My Nintendo Rewards, which are mostly on their mobile games, is how you get these points. And they give you these little digital coins that you can spend on new outfits for something or new stages.
Can you imagine if PlayStation tried to implement something like that? Like, they couldn't do it.
No.
Like, the rewards would have to be, like, it would be like one of those games that, a Dave and Buster's, where if you wanted something, you want this free digital game? That's going to be 15,000 million.
Yeah. Club Nintendo was amazing, because you got physical Chotskis,
which is cool.
Buying games.
And I joined too late.
Those things were unique, though.
Yeah, and so I'm still envious of you guys. You guys got that last calendar. The last calendar that they made for Club Nintendo, and I didn't get that
because one. It's weirdly surprising that we would, just based off like the 3DS and all the games and stuff that we would buy over the year, we would hit platinum pretty regularly. Although, what are your thoughts on the idea that the Switch is the 3DS killer?
I'm not okay with that because I really like my 3DS. And it was odd to me that that would be like the 3DS killer because they're still making things. Contrary to what all the reviewers were saying is that they weren't going to update anything for Street Passes. And next thing you knew, you had three new Street Pass games.
Which I think that if it's Nintendo's interest to remain in the handheld and not be just a Switch thing.
Or mobile.
You just pump out great content for it and you're going to be fine. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they don't just completely drop off the 3DS because I couldn't imagine playing like a Pokemon game on a handheld. Or a Pokemon game.
Not
on
something
the
with that battery life either.
Switch. You know? Now the Switch has an amazing battery life.
Not undocked was 3 hours.
What?
Like if you're playing the, it's 3 hours.
Oh, I don't ever. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's why maybe
it's not so great
like,
then.
It's not going to be the 3DS.
Yeah, no.
But so, like they're saying that the idea behind it
makes sense.
Could because
then you can play your
cannibalize
Pokemon
stuff
on your Switch on the go or on your TV.
Well, there's some Pokemon games coming. There's a Pokemon game planning to come out on the Switch. I believe that's Sunday.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or something Pokemon something. It's like supposed to be like the connection between the 3DS games and
So my thing would be them bringing back a really good rewards program like they used to do. They've always done one for a long time. I'd like to see them do something with it again.
Mine would be to actually implement an actual good online community.
I think you're going
to
get
that. In terms of like with PlayStation and Xbox, you can actually game with your friends and talk to them inside the game, like in-game chat, and not in the lobby. And then once you go into the game, it's all silent. You can't talk to them.
I think you're going to get that with the Switch system. With the Switch,
I hope so. And then also transferring game files, like save your files to like your memory card to be able to pull it up on someone else's. Like
I think
save
that,
stuff
you can
to your
that.
Save. Like no, like they're still locked to your consoles.
Yeah, no, they are, and I think they're going to change that.
No,
yeah.
It's my Legend of Zelda save is on my memory card. My Legend of Zelda save is on my memory.
No,
card.
No, like
Becky, is that right? Nope.
I have a folder on my memory card that says Legend of Zelda.
It's Julius.
It just might be pictures and stuff. I'm literally
like
telling
if
you
took your card and put it in Zach's console, it won't.
You wouldn't bring up your save file.
Really?
Yeah, this is a known issue.
Yeah, it's a Nintendo.
Like, this is one of those things where, like, they were.
Well, there's something in my memory card.
Yeah, because people are like, what if you switch consoles
again? I'm sure that's coming. But I will say this. This is one of those things that really should have been my first, not the thing that I said, is develop new IPs. Nintendo really needs to start developing some new IPs.
They do. They have Splatoon.
Splatoon is new, but beyond that, what was that before that? That was such a long dry spell. Like, if you start developing these things, you're going to have some hits. They take the time to it. Like Miyamoto's rode the coattails of Zelda and, you know, Mario for so long that's like, you know, I'm not saying he necessarily has to, but, like, there's no harm at this point. And like, even if you create these little indie titles like the indie developers are, why not start making some really good
Same could be said for PlayStation and Xbox.
I totally agree with that statement too.
PlayStation?
That's why we've said
PlayStation
that for
doesn't
for
develop new IPs. Were there new successful IPs?
Well, no. I think we're going off new like I. I'm sorry. New because
Horizon Zero Dawn.
IPs. That was Sony Computer Entertainment, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but it was still Sony, another company.
Uncharted.
Right?
No,
Infamous,
Uncharted's like Uncharted.
It's Naughty Dog, though. But
yeah,
like,
but that's a first party studio.
Yeah, but I'm saying we've had four or five over the span of 8 years. That's not a new IP. They just make new versions of the game. So you're saying that Nintendo hasn't made new versions of.
I think, no, but I think.
It was like. No, like they have the same. Like, when was the actual newest, like, Splatoon? Is basically the only new thing they've made like in the last 20 years.
But my point on that was, get me back to play the Switch. Get me back to not necessarily make the PS4 my primary console. Do you see what I'm saying?
I don't think they want to do that. I don't think that's their end game anymore.
And that's probably
true. That's not what they want
to
do anymore.
I'm saying, for me, it would be really nice to be able to actually play the Switch and want to play it for something other than one title. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, the PS4, the Xbox has their exclusives that, you know,
Halo.
For me, I'll buy those.
Halo's 15
and play
years.
A lot of those exclusives.
Okay.
I'm saying I wish that the Switch or Nintendo in general would come up with some more IPs that, you know, would bring me in and make me want to play it and not it just be a Legend of Zelda console. How it's been for us for a couple of generations now. I guess you like the Wii.
I get you, but I don't agree with you. But yeah, because they all do the same thing. Because God of War, the new game that everybody's going to play on PlayStation 4.
Sure.
It's not a new IP. It's just a new chapter of that story.
But it was a new... But the real question was, like, what do we want to see Nintendo?
That game is 12 years old. The franchise is 12 years old. We've had 7 of the title.
The question was, what do we want Nintendo to do? And that's what I was saying. Yeah. It would be nice for them to come up with new IPs. Not that... It had nothing to do with PS4 and Xbox. I still feel the same way about them. Like, at this point in time, when they're saying the PS5 could be coming out in 2018...
I would say that Microsoft does the new IP thing the best. Their games don't do well, but they try. Sunset Overdrive.
Really? Because they just started canceling all their some new IPs.
Well, I'm just saying they try. And they said they don't do well, but they try.
I don't know. I think Sony's really kicking ass new IPs.
Like, I don't think even if you're talking about actual exclusives,
Horizon
stuff,
Zero Dawn,
which I'm talking about not even exclusive in terms of going back 20 years since, like, 20 years for all the consoles. Well, I guess Xbox hasn't been out that long. But if you go back, Mario or Nintendo versus, like, Sony in terms of original IPs created, like, Nintendo has, like, 5.
Nintendo started 15 years before all those other systems. They don't have to make anymore.
But I'm saying that's what I'm saying. We're saying they need more.
I kind of get what he's saying. Like, so the Nintendo originally came out, it had huge third party support because it was basically the console.
Mm-hmm.
Though they don't own those properties. Like, Konami owns Castlevania and all that shit. So they'd still have to relicense and come up with new. Even if it was a new technical IP, they still have to get those people on board to do it.
Yeah. What's your point?
My issue, or what I think he was saying, was Nintendo's rested on their laurels a little bit.
Yes.
Whereas PlayStation, as a new console, came in and just started throwing money at shit, being like, let's make me a game, make me a game. And then eventually they got hits coming off of that.
And they do have games that they produce, like, multiple ones all the time, like Uncharted, God of War.
I agree.
But
I think Nintendo got a little lazy.
There are
that
things that they tried, like Horizon Zero Dawn, they tried.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones not Splatoon.
Well, Nintendo tried Splatoon. And it did very well.
Let's see what are some other ones. You're the gamers. More.
Did Splatoon do really good?
Splatoon did very well.
Like, even on a console that didn't sell well?
Yeah. Jack and Dexter.
Yeah. That's what people play. That's what people still play. They have Splatoon World
Championship. The Order, which wasn't a good game, but that was I think that one was rushed out. I'm just saying, like, Nintendo, like he was saying, rest. They're like, we got Mario, we got Zelda.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm just saying that.
I'm literally just saying.
I don't think you'll see that from Nintendo.
I doubt it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Again, remember the conversation was what we would want Nintendo to do. Not what Nintendo's doing wrong necessarily. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
So
I think that statement could be used on all of them though. Xbox, Nintendo,
I absolutely agree, especially in this generation.
And they don't have.
How many years are we into the PS4 generation? 2 or 3?
I don't know.
PS4 when it came out in 2011.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Oh God, 2011. That's even worse.
I got mine late.
Or 2013.
Can you imagine? Like. Getting a PlayStation 1 and being like, there were 5 great games in these 5 years or however long it's been at this point. You know what I mean? Like, that's just really weird to me. And a lot of the problem is it's rehashing shit. You know?
Sorry, it was remasters. November 2013 is when it came out originally.
So, 4 years. But we're just rehashing a bunch of stuff, and we've talked about this before. So...
But
again, not a big issue. I
didn't mean to hurt you, Julius, on your Nintendo love.
I just think they all that.
Well,
statement
yeah, that could be
that
statement can go to all of them
because they all use their because it's a good business sense to take your titles that do well and continue to make them do
development
well.
Development cost is too high to really risk a lot of times going to the new IP. We understand that. I was just saying, Nintendo doesn't seem like they. Like, they do take more risk with their console development in terms of making new consoles, but in terms of games...
Innovation there.
Yeah, they just, like, we got Mario, we got a Zelda, we got, this. That's it. Like, we don't need to worry about making anything new.
Yeah, but I think the thing that hurts them in that front is the innovation scares off developers.
Yeah.
Maybe it's underpowered for what it needs, for what the other consoles can do, and it can't run properly or for whatever reason. It's cool. And you know what? I don't technically, I should even rephrase what I said originally. Maybe it's not I need new IPs. Maybe I need their IPs to come out on a regular basis.
He said that.
Well, no, I said originally I would like Nintendo to actually come up with some new IPs.
No, originally you said you want to come out on a regular basis.
Well, that too. I mean, but if you look at it, if you think about it, though, Nintendo, again, I know they put so much time and effort into each one of their golden titles, their really great IPs. I just think that when it comes down to it, like, you know, the Wii U never technically got a new Zelda game. They got a remastered version.
Of two.
So it's weird to have a console generation come out. Like, it would be like Xbox releasing a console and then for that one console never getting a Halo, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So, or Gears.
Or Gears, yeah. Well, we, you know, honestly thought Gears was done.
I did too. But you know, you can't let your money machine. You got Cliff That would be like, honestly, like Nintendo being like, you know what? We're done with Mario. Like, it had a run and then just not making them anymore. It's like, you don't cheat that cash cow. You try to rewrite that story and make it make sense.
That are like, you know, Nintendo really needs to start really worrying about money because, you know, Sony and Xbox are still just kicking the shit out of them. Like, yeah, Sony and Xbox don't have the merchandise.
Because you don't walk in Walmart and in the checkout aisle next to candy see Master Chief candy.
Exactly.
Or Master Chief figures.
Or clothes, yeah. Or tchotchkes, yeah. Or figures, yeah. Or shoes.
Or there's not a Master Chief world at Universal Studios.
Yeah. Did you see those PS4 Converse? Mm-mm. They don't exist.
Oh.
Which is my point. Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, we, like, last thing about Nintendo, I like Nintendo, even though I come across like I don't, I actually do like
them,
and they're completely
this
different.
This whole thing came up because we were talking about Devin, because I've heard his rants, and I'm like, I don't think you really understand, dude, like, you're really on that cusp of really understanding.
Like, Nintendo has their problems, or things that I find annoying.
With Sony Mega Cereal.
Right.
Yeah, Nintendo has its problems and stuff that annoy me, but overall, I do think that they're a good company, and like, them being in the gaming sphere actually helps because most of the stuff that they do that they don't necessarily succeed at kind of forces, or that they do succeed at, forces
innovation.
Sony and Microsoft to have to be like, okay, people might like motion controls. We need to hurry up and push this out because it's working. Mm-hmm. And then mobile devices are coming out. People are putting things on their screen, like handhelds. Nintendo's good at handhelds. Other companies, Microsoft at one point was going to be trying to make a handheld to get in that market. So Nintendo is great at driving competitors to be better, even though the competitors are usually, I guess, more technologically advanced compared to Nintendo.
But
Nintendo is still driving their competitors to try to compete with them.
The only thing that
to catch up technology. It's weird.
And this is what, no, I get it. And this is where Nintendo's laughing at them, because Sony and Microsoft are racing to become the most powerful console, where Nintendo always makes a profit off their stuff. Where, how many years did it take? It took, like, I swear, a decade for the PS2 to recoup the expense of the PS2s. They were selling every PS2 at a loss.
And then they were broken.
And it took so long. I remember reading that, a random article, years later, being like, Sony finally recoups cost of the PlayStation 2. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to agree that they're two different audiences overall. Or they could be the same audience, but in terms of, you get one console, like Nintendo is a console specifically for a certain type of gameplay that you're looking for. And so it's kind of weird to compare them to Microsoft and Xbox, because it is a different experience that Nintendo's going for. So I'll go with that.
Yeah, no, I will.
Do you not agree with that, Julius?
I didn't hear what you said. I wasn't listening. I got bored
I think Julius
a while
would
ago.
Agree.
We're talking about Nintendo. I'm surprised you're not putting more input in it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got distracted.
So, what's our next topic? Let's move on to something a little more interesting.
I saw something that caught my attention.
So, we talked about the Switch. We talked about the Joy-Con issues. We talked about what we'd like to see Nintendo do. let's talk about Mass Effect Andromeda. And I don't know if you guys know
Pokemon
about
Go.
Well, we can have a Pokemon Go segment. Let's mm-hmm. What do you? You're the only one. You and Willie are the only ones that still play on a regular basis. What's
Gen 2? Shiny Pokemon.
What's shiny Pokemon?
Like, I only recently found out about shiny Pokemon because I don't play the games that much. But it's basically
you play the games.
I played Pokemon X is probably the first Pokemon actual game I've played since like Pokemon Snap, and so Julia still had to explain like the like shiny and stuff.
Well, there's only one in the game right now, but the shiny Pokemon I don't want to call them more evolved because they weren't more evolved, but the shiny Pokemon were just. They were like variants of the Pokemon that were already in the game, but they would evolve to a different looking Pokemon. So the example being Pokemon Go, so you've got your new Gen 2 Pokemon that are out, that have been all over, and then they just recently started doing this water event where they're letting the water type Pokemon out, readily available. Lapras are out in the wild now, which where they originally were really only available in Japan. But now you have a shiny Magikarp. Everybody knows Magikarp. You know, you evolve Magikarp. You get 400 of them. It turns into a Gyarados.
Do you get a different color of Gyarados?
Gyarados, yeah.
Gyarados?
You get a red one. It's a really pretty red one. Neat. If you get a shiny Pokemon.
If you only get one?
Good luck if you can get one. I can't even
but
find
But I mean, that's
one.
What I'm asking, though.
They're out in the wild.
If you get one, you just evolve that one and it'll turn red?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no. You still have your 400 Magikarp candies.
Yeah, but they don't have to be 400 shiny, is
correct.
What I mean. Okay.
Oh, my God. I'd just kill myself instead.
So that's cool. That's cool. Neat.
Good luck for you all out there who are hunting, and hopefully you'll find one. I haven't found one yet.
See, he says he's going to find one as soon as he's going to find one sitting down right now while we're doing this podcast.
Well, that's why he was bored. That's why he got distracted by it.
Looking for a shiny Magikarp. And that's cool. I mean, like... I mean, I stopped after, you know, I basically caught a lot of stuff and was just like, just kind of done with it. But, you know, you guys are still keeping it strong. Do we know how many users are still, like, on? It's got to have dropped.
It's gone down.
Yeah, it's gone down a lot, but it's still quite a bit.
Still people play, but it's gone down.
Making money off of it.
Yeah, still be buying stuff.
All right, so Mass Effect Andromeda, or did you have another thing with it?
No.
I mean, based on what I've read and seen, there's some glitchy graphics and maybe some bugs that
you got the collector's edition though, didn't you?
No,
yours just came in a steel case.
It was a Best Buy exclusive.
Oh.
Anyways,
okay.
The graphics are a little wonky, especially the facial animations can look really bad. Some weird.
That's disappointing.
I
wanted to see this. I really wanted to play this game. I haven't played it yet.
There was a patch that was just released, I think, yesterday that fixed some things that weren't face related. And that's fine.
They are looking into
trying to fix it.
Down the road.
And, you know, I mean, I probably wouldn't have that big of an issue because the original Mass Effect series, there'd be some wonky animations. But I think we expect a little bit more. But I also heard the story's a little on the weak side, and
that's disappointing.
It is. As a big Mass Effect fan, I have yet to play it. I was kind of sitting on my pre-order for a while, and
new IPs.
The Steelbook came in,
hey,
and
at
I
least
was
they
like,
tried.
I was
hey,
like,
look what it did.
At least they tried.
But even so, like, I got it, and I mean, I'll eventually put it in when I have a little free time and go from there. But with that said, it's definitely had some issues, and I'm not exactly sure what its rating is, but I'm sure it's probably in the sevens.
It's not just the facial stuff. It's also weird walking animations.
I've seen some stuff
where the gun's backwards or something.
The gun's backwards. The walking animation made me laugh because it looked like somebody that needed to go to the bathroom. Like, maybe number two. They were duck waddling.
And then controversy recently happened because the main female character, I guess, in the
isn't
game...
Isn't as pretty.
Yeah, isn't as pretty as the actual model that they used to actually model
the camera.
I'm not
going to fault them there. You know, facial animations are a hard thing.
Well, they're saying that they intentionally made her ugly. Made the female characters uglier.
No one in BioWare ever... comment.
I don't know. That's what the argument is, and I'm like, I didn't think the model looked ugly really in the game. I was kind of, part of me was like,
she looks a little different.
She just looked like she didn't have makeup on really, and like she didn't look ugly. I'm kind of like, if you maybe you have the issue if you just automatically assume that she's ugly there, like you might have been the one who's actually kind
of
that.
It's one of those things where like you also look at other games and you look at their facial models and you're like,
well, they said that like compared to the male characters
looks a lot more handsome.
But,
and then she looked kind of like Girl Next Door-ish.
Yeah, she looked like a normal pretty girl. It reminds me of an animated character.
Yeah.
But that kind of takes us into also with our talking about people outraged about random things that don't really seem to be outraged about.
Okay.
Iron Fist.
Yeah, this is where Jules comes in because he's our comic book expert and he let it know, because we were talking about, you know, what we were going to talk about on our podcast just before, and I swear I read an article, or at least glanced by an article, that said that people were pissed that it was whitewashed. Well, Jules informed me that the character was always white.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, it's not whitewashing the character.
Yeah, he was
a white dude, and Power Man, i.e. Johnny Cage, or whatever his name is, Luke Cage was a black dude, and they went around the 70s and did buddy cop type stuff. It's like, silly. He's always been white.
And he just learns martial arts, right?
Yeah, he learns martial arts from that weird place, but yeah, he goes to a different realm and learns.
Did he learn from an Asian?
He learned from an Asian group, yes.
Now, maybe that was, because I haven't seen it yet, but yeah, Iron Fist, maybe those guys that taught him weren't
maybe
Asian. I don't know. Whitewashing has become, like, in defense of Hollywood, a lot of the times, there's so much money being passed around, they have to bet on a Hollywood name, you know, a big name. And I get that. And it sucks, but at the same time, I get it. You know, Hollywood is one of those things where they'll come up with some really dumb ideas at the same time. Well, you know,
like, it's not getting very good reviews from critics.
Yeah.
But once it recently became available, and like fans are actually giving it a much better review. There's like people who are actually fans of like comic books and just the regular public are giving it better reviews than the critics. The critics are like saying it's trash and garbage.
But, you know, I don't think they particularly liked Daredevil season 2.
Yeah, that's how it pretty much seems like for superhero things.
Comparatively.
It's usually the critics are very hard on them and the fans actually like them. And that could be because things are made more for the fans.
I still think the fans are saying this is the least favorite of.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're not saying it's garbage and unwatchable.
Well, I mean, a lot of stuff Netflix does. I mean, I can't think of a lot of stuff that's unwatchable. You know, I think the fact that, and I've always said this, that like anything can become a binge watch if you just have the opportunity to watch the next episode. Most of the time, people getting attracted to a show, especially back in the day, you had to wait a week, you know, to see the next episode. There wasn't this binge watching until after it was released on either VHS or DVD as a complete season. So I think you can kind of get into anything if you really give it time. Now, with that said, I don't know anything about Iron Fist. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet either.
I don't know if they're going to follow along with the story, but he was just a white dude.
He's one of the part of the Defenders.
He's just a white dude that studied martial arts, and then as a child, he found this little realm called, I think it was Kunlun, or something like that. I don't know how to pronounce it. And he saved.
Were they good comics?
Yeah.
Iron Fist?
Kunlun?
I never really read them. I read Iron Fist and Power Man. I like those. It was like, Lethal Weapon.
I got you.
So, because of the buddy cop type thing. So it was fun. And then they relaunched it with the new Marvel era. So they relaunched it. So it's doing pretty well.
I mean, the whole idea of whitewashing as far as kind of a cultural thing when it comes to film. Anyway, like, you're hearing a lot more about it with, like, Matt Damon's character in Great Wall, Scarlett Johansson in Ghost in the Shell. 90% of the time, it's literally going to come down to,
well, it's you need like, a box anyway, office if you draw. Look at the character from Ghost in the Shell, she didn't look Asian. from the cartoon.
Yeah,
she looked but no, I mean, no anime. We've had this conversation. No anime really looks Asian. It's pretty rare. I mean, there'll be a character here or there.
But that's more because of the actual animation or anime, how characters break down when you're drawing them, kind of makes their features look more. Yeah, but like with the whitewashing, that does happen in a lot of cases. I think it's one of those situations where you should pick your battles kind of thing. There's some things where it's like clearly like, yeah, this was whitewashed, and there's some things that's like, well, it kind of makes sense with this, like as long as the person can actually play the role. Like with the Iron Fist, there's not anything there because he is, it's whitewashed because the character's white. Then with Death Note, which is another one, Netflix released their trailer for Death Note day before yesterday or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Death Note fan. I've actually watched the live action movies, imported them and read the manga and stuff, and it is takes place in Japan, so the characters are all like Asian, and in the Netflix is getting backlash now as for whitewashing because the main character is a white guy. Yeah, it's set in. Yeah, that
I see. I don't that, see. You know why I don't see an issue with that? How many things that we've taken from the East as far as film? Like, look at all the Ring movies, right? Mm-hmm. Those don't need a race attached to it. It's a story. So if it's based in, if they change just the location, I could totally get that. I think when you take an iconic character, like let's say that it was, this is just the most absurd idea ever. But you said, hey, we're gonna make this Bruce Lee biopic. Let's cast Ryan Reynolds. Do you see what I'm saying? Like that would be where you would find your outlet.
You know, it's funny too because no one really spoke about it in too grave detail about what is the new FX series that's going to come out where it's where they have his brother played Lord Voldemort.
Ralph.
Which one played Lord Voldemort?
Rafe.
So Ralph is or. Is, whatever. The other brothers. The other brother.
The one that played Shakespeare. They canceled it.
They canceled it.
I totally think that was in bad taste.
Nobody said anything about that.
Oh, yeah, they did. Oh, hell yeah, they did. That's why you're never going to see it.
That's like one of the
But did you see the trailer, though? Watch.
Yeah.
But do you realize that was one of the times when people protested enough where they canceled it?
Yeah. They didn't. That episode did not come out.
Yeah.
Well, he actually seemed like he did a pretty good job. That's the sad part.
I thought he looked horrible.
He looked horrible, but he sounded just like him.
That really doesn't change the fact that that was the you literally found the perfect example of people getting so mad and then them looking back on it and going, you know what, we're not going to do this.
I didn't know they got mad about it. I guess I missed that.
Oh, hell yeah.
But
so I think I can post something on Facebook this does not look right.
So that's what I'm saying with the whole the whitewashing, pick your battles like that. I think it's a battle you should pick. You should have picked that on the playing the Michael Jackson, the Bruce Lee. If they're doing another Bruce Lee or
story, it's not even about
like Ryan Reynolds.
No, they're actually doing it. They're doing that it's a Bruce Lee action movie about, I mean, a kind of fantasy thing about kind of like him. But it's not, like, the movie, like, is billed as this Bruce Lee biopic thing, but it's about a white dude that trained under him or something like that.
I do have to say this, if Ryan Reynolds played Bruce Lee in a movie, I would watch it. I know, I'm just saying.
Let me preface that by saying this is not a movie ever happening. I was trying to give an example of when you really should be mad. I would say, Avatar was one that I really didn't really like because the movie sucked to begin with. But
they didn't whitewash them though.
They did. The not what who
what are you saying they should have all been Asian? Because they kind of were. All the actors were Asian.
Dude, that was one of the first times that I even heard whitewashing as a term. Yeah.
No one in that movie was white.
They couldn't even pronounce
the two
Aang's name.
Okay, Aang is not an Asian kid. He's a white Texan. The little martial artist kid, the bald that played Aang.
But all the other characters were like Indian.
The Fire Nation was Indian. But then the Inuits, was the dude from fucking Twilight. And some white chick that I can't even think. Like, there was such a huge backlash.
Make them look good.
I
thought they were Asian.
Did you wait? I gotta ask this question as a follow up. Did you like the movie?
Oh, that movie was terrible. We got We got to the part where they...
Did you like the movie?
I don't think you did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, thank God.
No, I love the cartoon.
Wait, did you like it?
Okay. I haven't watched it.
Like, it's the only M. Night movie I really don't particularly care for. Well, that and the Happening.
Split got me back into M. Night.
Yeah. But that was the first time I think I even heard whitewashing as a term was that movie.
I mean, I thought they were
But there's been more since then.
I guess I don't really pay attention.
It happens, but we also have to understand that, like, it would be great if we could get, you know, people of color or, you know, different ethnical or, well, with stories that need or that have originally, you know, had an ethnic character in it, keep that same ethnicity. That would be nice.
I mean, with the Death Note, I'm more worried about...
It's sucking
because I'm just... I'm a fan of the show, and after watching the trailer, which is only 54 minutes, and I don't want to just judge something based off of, like, until I see more of it, but it didn't feel like...
At least you can binge-watch it.
It didn't feel like Death Note to me, but, like I said, they didn't show much of it, but they have, what's his name, dude who played Green Goblin in the original, like, Spider-Man movies, Boondock Saints, I can't think of his name right now.
Willem Dafoe.
There you go.
Don't Oscar winner like Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, I couldn't think of his name. I know it's who he is. He's playing Ryuk, which is the Shinigami, the death god in it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that's he looks perfect. Like him. He looks like him without makeup. Yeah.
Let's say character. That, because you have that new Full Metal Alchemist, which is one of my favorite animes of all time.
That movie, I'm sorry.
Hold on a second, it looks good. It looks good.
But it's Asian.
But hold on a second. Like, if you would have made that here... they made
it
in Japan,
it would not be as good.
Hold on a second. Let's say you did... And you cast a white dude because, you know, he's got blonde hair.
You would cast a white dude. The kids looked white in the cartoon. They didn't look Asian.
I understand that. That was exactly my point.
I'm going to let
my
you finish.
My point is, it wouldn't bother me.
No, well, it should.
As long as it was done right. Do you see what I'm saying? But if you take a character who looks super Asian or is implied to be Asian for whatever reason and then just... cast a white person just in general, that's where people, I think, have the whitewashing issue.
With Full Metal Alchemist.
We're not getting enough, you know, like, how are we ever, like, let's say it's an Asian thing, because that's what I know the best. How are Asian actors going to even get the chance to play, you know, an Asian, you know, iconic character unless they're given a chance? And that's all they're talking about. It's like, it would be nice to take somebody... And at this point, there's some pretty big names, you know, out there that are good actors, not just martial artists, you know, that could come in and fit that role pretty well if it's set up for it. But it's just not in the cards right now. Hollywood is Hollywood, you know? I mean, the perfect example I guess I could give to you is take an iconic character that's black and then try to recast him as a different ethnicity. That would kind of suck, right? On some level. Right?
Are you asking a question? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the point. Whitewashing, and it still applies because there's black characters that get cast, you know, as a different ethnicity or even white sometimes, and people are like, "What the fuck? That was a black character," you know, for whatever reason you decided to change it, you know. And so, and a lot of the time, it's not a big name that's taking over. It's just, well, we're going a different direction with it.
You have me excited now for a Full Metal Alchemist movie. I wouldn't even mind one here, a US version too.
I think the story is good enough. The problem is it wouldn't be a movie. There's so much background that you need to actually explore before you actually do a full length movie. It should be a series.
Netflix is thing, I think it's just a movie.
But I mean, like you don't have to agree with me, Jules. I was just getting your opinion on it. Like,
on what?
No, he's getting bored.
On what?
I mean, just the idea of whitewashing.
Oh, no, I didn't disagree with you. I just was saying that the people looked white in the cartoon, so that's why I agree.
And with the Full Metal Alchemist, it would make sense. Full Metal Alchemist distinguishes between different races and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's kind of a...
And so
it's
would make
like
sense.
A weird, like I could think of, like, a European.
Yeah,
like if you were going to set it somewhere, because it's a fictional place, but... I would feel it's like a European.
Oh, it is. Place. Like, if you watch one of the movies.
They talk about World War II, so yeah, it's definitely Europe.
If you watch one of the movies, when they go from
like switch realities.
The Conqueror of Shambhala.
Yeah, that one. There's also
Did you watch that movie? I hated that.
What?
Oh, I thought that one was boring.
I like Stars of Milos.
That's the one he's thinking of.
Theaters.
You're thinking of Stars of Milos.
I'm thinking of Stars of Milos. The one where the animation downgraded, like
that's the Stars of Milos.
Okay, sure. That's the one that sucked.
What was the story about?
Like, I don't remember. I couldn't get through it all.
I didn't like Shambhala that much Stars of Milos.
Shambhala was all I remember is there was one really good movie and one that was slow, and the animation looked like they took a lot of cheap cuts to it.
No, it's because Shambhala got a theatrical release.
So did Stars of Milos.
Yeah. No, it got a Fathom release.
It got a theatrical. I watched that at Harkins.
That's what I'm saying. It got a Fathom release. Shambhala had actual. These are the times and dates every day. Milos had the Fathom events release. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so we've hit on, and this is a perfect segue into this. What are we watching, or what have we seen? What can you recommend? What are you playing? Kind of how we end. Because it is running a little long. Who wants to go first?
Beauty and the Beast. Well, I've seen a whole bunch of stuff, but I'll just say Beauty and the Beast. It was amazing.
I mean, you want to just rattle off what you've seen, or is it that many?
Well, shucks. I've seen what? Beauty and the Beast, John Wick 2, Get Out.
John Wick 2 good?
I like John Wick 2. I thought it was better than the first one.
Awesome.
Action-wise, anyway. Didn't tug at your heartstrings in any way, shape, or form. What else did I see? I don't even remember now. I guess I'll go look at my Atom app to see what I watched. That's the best app.
Yeah, you guys do see the movies in the theater.
I get you a code that you can just share and just be like, if you want to sign up, get some cheap movie deals and stuff, like, use my code.
Yeah.
That should be our new sponsor, Atom.
Yeah, I love that app.
Me too. I saw Beauty and the Beast for
$1.90. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Which I will back you up on that 100%. I adored Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. I thought
I saw Logan, La La Land, Kong. Kong was great.
La La Land, how was it?
I don't know. Maybe I'm not as artistic as I used to be, but I was not impressed.
I've heard a lot of people.
And I can't tell you why I wasn't impressed because it's spoilers. But the music was great. The music was great. I'll say that the music was great.
You saw Logan.
Yeah, I saw, like,
I
don't watch a lot of movies, necessarily, like, in theaters and stuff, but here lately, I went and watched Get Out and Logan, and both, to me, were fantastic movies. Like, I was not disappointed by either. I was thoroughly surprised about Get Out. I did not expect it to be as good as it ended up being. I think for that type of genre, like kind of a thriller, slight horror, slight thriller type genre, I think it really did it the best out of most any movie I've seen in that genre. Nice. And Logan made me cry.
You saw Logan. A little bit. Uh-huh. And you're a comic book guy.
But he doesn't like Wolverine.
I don't like Wolverine.
Did you enjoy it as much as everybody else?
No, it was great. It was a fantastic movie.
Okay. I need to know these things because
it was what every Wolverine movie could have been. It's good that they did it on the very last one.
It went out on the bank.
It was a good movie. It was a good movie. It had its obvious plot holes, and you're tying multiple universes together and multiple comic book storylines into one story without a lot of backstory. So if you're a real paying attention type person, you're going to ask a lot of questions. But it was a really, really good movie. Really, really good movie. In my opinion, some plot points were moved along too quickly. But it was a really, really good movie. It was by far the best of the Wolverine movies, which doesn't really say much. But
I'm a Wolverine fan. But I liked the.
Please don't say the Silver Eye Samurai one. Silver Samurai one. Please don't say that one. That's the one you're gonna say. The Wolverine. The Wolverine, the second one.
The third one.
I hear someone calling me. What? I like the one with
Silver Samurai.
You do realize that it was set in Japan. I get that.
Well, no, it was entertaining.
I never watched it. Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Wait a second. You haven't seen it yet?
Yeah, they showed me. I saw the trailer and saw what Silver Samurai looked like.
It was actually a pretty decent flick.
I stopped watching.
Did you really just get on to me about liking a movie that you've never even watched?
Man, I can't watch it. Silver Samurai is one of my favorite.
It's pretty good.
Silver Samurai is one of my favorite comic book bad guys.
I was better than the first Wolverine movie.
The way they did it, I was like, oh, well, that's not hard.
I thought you were going to say it sucked too.
No,
I wanted it to be good.
I think the feudal Japan.
No, it was they had freaking ninjas. Wolverine fighting ninjas.
Well, that's normal. That's in his comic books. So especially when he's going up against Silver Samurai, he was a Silver Samurai.
Was there anything else that you've seen
recently?
Logan, Get Out.
I thought you saw something else.
Split
and Assassin's Creed, which I think we talked about Assassin's Creed on the last one. Like, it got a lot of hate and people didn't like it. I thought it was enjoyable.
I thought it was good.
I'm a huge fan of the series. And I really hope that they make a sequel, and I know that they're thinking about it. With how the world is set, they wouldn't necessarily even have to continue off where this one left off.
Because I like even Michael Fassbender, though.
Yeah. He did a good job.
Like, especially, is he playing the iconic...
This one's a completely different, like,
he's not playing
hero and stuff, too. Yeah, so it's a different, separate story. It just takes place in the Assassin's Creed universe, basically. And so, with how Assassin's Creed is set up, it jumps around a lot in the games, too, to different stories and stuff. So, they can honestly
have a huge
world. And so, I hope they do more. I enjoyed it. Split was fantastic, I think. It was a really good movie. It restored my faith in M. Night Shyamalan's ability to direct. And I liked the little...
M. Night has always been a director. He's always been a great director.
It's writing that you have to worry about.
Well, this one restored my faith in him. And, like, especially the little kind of thing that happens, like ending at the end. I'm not going to say it,
I know there's that M. Shyamalan twist.
But yeah, that...
This one didn't really have a twist.
It was less of a twist, more like a...
It was like, oh, that's neat. I wonder if I can go back and watch the rest of them now.
No, that's...
So that one I'm really looking forward to.
Split?
Yeah.
John McAvoy? Yeah. Who played? He did a great job. Yeah. Like, he was amazing in the movie. His characters are really neat. The characters that he portrayed, I mean,
honestly, the only thing I've seen in the theater,
I didn't like the ending.
Recently, I loved Beauty and the Beast, which is your childhood, or at least my childhood, represented on screen. And I know some people have had some issues with, you know, Emma Watson.
She did a great job
for whatever
she
reason.
Was made for Belle.
I liked it. I like her. I thought the cast was brilliant. The people that in that movie that were cast in iconic roles kind of freaked me out when I heard their casting. I was like, yeah, you just can't replace Angela Lansbury Cogsworth sounded weird in the trailers, but like, not Cogsworth, I'm sorry, Lumiere. Ewan McGregor knocks it out of the park.
I didn't even notice, and that was a spoiler. I didn't know it was Ewan McGregor.
You know, Angela Lansbury was probably the character that I was most concerned with. Emma Thompson knocks it out of the park. She hits a grand slam easily.
Like, it was just a great movie.
That was such an iconic character in the animated film, and
it was good.
Lansbury still can sing beautifully, and you know, it's one of those things where you could have used your voice.
Lives?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she's like 80 something.
Yeah, she just did back before the release. She did a live performance.
Really, I thought Murder She Wrote was about her.
He shared it on Twitter.
It was fantastic. But Emma Thompson kills it.
Yeah, it was good.
I loved everybody in that movie.
It was really good.
I'd go see it again. I can't wait to actually purchase it on Blu-ray for the special features.
Yeah. I just signed up for the Disney Movie Club. Disney Movie Club?
They still do
that? Like Columbia House, but with Disney movies? Yeah, they still do it. And it's actually a pretty good deal if you pay attention to your mail and stuff. It's actually a pretty good deal. I got I got 7 Disney Blu-rays for $21.
Not bad.
And all I got to do is buy 2 more.
So... That's what we've been watching. What have you been playing? Anything good? Besides Zelda? I guess everybody's Zelda.
Well, I just started Zelda. I've only been like an hour into it. I've been playing a lot of Hitman, which actually is a lot more fun than I thought it would be. And I actually get lost in like each mission for several hours, finding different ways to kill people. And on the 28th, so in 4 days, I am going to be playing Gladios episode in Final Fantasy 15.
DLC. Just another thing that I will not have time to play, but still haven't played the Psychonauts VR.
Oh, yeah.
That one was fun. I could only play it for about an hour, but it was fun.
That didn't bother me. VR doesn't bother me, so I'd be able to do that.
It didn't bother me, per se, like the VR element. Well, eyes got tired, because your eyes get tired. Well, mine do.
Yeah,
mine but I didn't like... You have to look a lot. You have to look around.
Started.
And I got tired of looking around. Because you got to look, literally, turn your head to the right or the left.
Did you play the Batman VR?
Nope. It's still sealed.
I know. I'm going to need someone to let me play that Danganronpa
VR. I think I downloaded that. Did I download that? Once you posted it, I think I might have downloaded that. I don't remember.
Anywho,
anything else?
God, what have I been playing? Nothing. Like, I got Mass Effect Andromeda, and I still haven't even put it in to go through the update and download process. I'll probably get to that. I've been watching Becky play Zelda, so it's kind of one of those things where, you know, if I have any free time to play, I'd rather just kind of watch somebody.
Sometimes it is just fun to watch someone play a game.
I've never known that. I mean, luxury. Don't get me wrong. It's not without the issues of the way that she plays the game.
The backseat driver.
Oh, she hates it. Because, like, she will try to kill everything, and that's fine, and she'll use bombs. So,
that's the easiest way.
Sure. And it's, bombs it's probably the best way. Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm going to
say bombs for something. But when you have a boss that takes off, like, a millimeter.
I can't do that.
And you just, she'll do it until they die. So, a boss, not even a boss fight, a person out
mid-level
there.
Mid-level boss.
Not even a mid-level boss. Just somebody out in the...
A
random person, like, could take 15 minutes of trying to get those bombs. But I don't falter for it. I understand.
I'll blow you up with arrows all
personally, day. I would, if I was playing the game, like, I would use that opportunity to try to get better melee-wise, because those guardians, you have to hit them, you know.
But everything you have to breaks get good well,
you,
easily, so...
Well, you have to use your advanced combat. You know, everything
breaks,
combat.
But how often do you find... We come across stuff.
Well, I just use my amiibos every day, so I get plenty of weapons, yeah.
I don't mind watching people who have, like, OCD while playing, because that's one of the things I find, that I have to watch if I go to stream a game.
Somebody's like, you're right, you're missing it.
Yeah, like, I want to try to collect everything, and I'm like, I know I can't do this right now, because people would be like, why is he picking up every single
thing? You gotta give me the incentive to do that. Like, Infamous was one of those games where I wanted to get everything.
God, I wanted Second Son's sequel.
But, like, most games like this, and I don't want to use this as an example. I'm going to use, let's say, a Shadows of Mordor or something like that. Yeah, no. I'm not trying to find 100% or complete that game.
There's only been one or two that I've ever tried to 100%.
Well, we've been distracted enough by
Becky playing Zelda
Breath of the Wild in the background. So... thanks for listening to the Nerdgasm Channel podcast. Please like and share the podcast. Also, check us out on our Facebook and Twitter and YouTube page, because we would love to hear from you, and we would love for y'all to help us grow. So, if there's anything you need from us, give us a call.
And definitely,
I think my work was dropping in there, like my customer support work. Wait, is there anything else we can help you with? Have a nice day.
Even so, if you have something you want to hear us talk about, for whatever reason, just drop us a comment.
Yeah, comment on there, send us tweets, or hit us up on Facebook as well. We reply to those pretty much as soon as we see that they've come in. So, until next time, this is Willie, a.k.a. Unofficial Ninja.
Zach, Romeo 313.
Jules, Fade Alexander.
See you.
Get out.
Get out.